I guess you could say the amount of the whatever value you put on the present that's given, or whatever it might be. But you know, that's something that every individual has to evaluate. And I was thinking about, you know, our Christmas offering. We had a man in our church in Fort Lauderdale. He was served on the mission field. He had four children, and he said every year he kept up with what he spent on those children. That's how much they give to the Christmas offering, because it meant so much to them and to him. And as him being a missionary, he knew that as well, serving on the field. So we ask you to do that as you think about giving and the Christmas offering. You pray and ask God what he would have you to do, and then be faithful in doing that. But then get back to the giving aspect. They say it's just the action, the attitude of our giving. And I thought about this. I thought, you know, we could do something to make everybody feel, you know, like they'd receive Christmas. I take Jimmy there. He could take out a $100 bill and give it to Linda. And then what she could do, she would appreciate that. And then what she could do is she could pass it on to, yeah, right on back there. And then, you know, it'd go all the way around like that, and everybody would be received. It's the spirit of giving, is it not? And it'd go all the way around in the church, and everybody would receive a gift. And it come back to Brother Robert over there, and then he could bring it and give it to me, and then Jimmy could say I could keep it. Wouldn't that be fair? If you have your Bibles tonight, I would invite you to turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, the first chapter, starting in verse 18. When we think about, according to the strategist of our day and those who keep statistics, three companies that does polls, and as I thought about this message, and I tell you what I really wanted to preach on was the music of Christmas, and I thought about that, been working on it, but the Lord laid this on my heart because as I studied and looked, something in our time that we need to look at, and especially after I look at these statistics that were given, the three polls says that we're living in the most uncertain times that's ever been in years or if ever. Are you with me? Uncertain times. And they are gauging it on the economy and also the lack of jobs and things that relate to that. So as we think about that, as we look at that, I am not a prophet and I'm not a prognosticator, but my God is still alive and well, and I believe that God has the solution and the answer to America's problem as well as all problems. I believe also that if we think about this, mind you, many are fearful and many are afraid today. And by all circumstances that we see around us, they have a right to be. Why do we say that? Why do we say that? Because many people do not understand what it means to have a relationship with God. Dr. Adrian Rogers said this, there are three kind of people in the world today. Three kind of people and three kind of people only. It says they are those who are afraid, and then there are those who do not know enough to be afraid, and then there are those of faith, and that faith is in an omnipotent God that has everything in control. Are you one of those? Do you have the confidence in God that He is able, that He's got everything in control? As I thought about this, and we look at the thing, I think the real message of Christmas is a fear not. And I know there are many fears today on every side. And as we think about the fear nots that we'll look at tonight, I think that is the message of Christmas for everyone who has an open heart and understanding to receive what God has for them. And I think as we look at this, would you stand with me for the reading of God's Word and remain standing for prayer? In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18 and following, it says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived of her is of the Holy Ghost. And then it says in 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's what his name means, Savior. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child and bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, once again we bow before you, thanking you for the opportunity of worship. Thank you, Lord, for the experience that we can come together and worship you in spirit and in truth, and know, Lord, our hearts are in tune with you. We thank you, God, for that as we are reminded of the hymns we've sung and reminded of that which, Lord, that you are doing and want to do in each of our lives. Oh, Lord, we just pray asking you that you'd help us to be open and submissive to your will for our lives. Father, I pray tonight that as we look together in your word, that you would help us to recognize as a people tonight that we have so much to be thankful for. And when we are a thankful people, we are not a fearful people. So God, tonight I would pray and ask that you'd help us to that you'd help us, Lord, to understand and open the ears of our mind and our heart, Lord, that we may know what you would have for us. I pray, God, tonight once again that you in your infinite wisdom would take these feeble lips of clay, God, and you'd speak through them the truth of your word, that we may be drawn to you, that we may come to know and to understand what your will and your purpose is for our life. And I pray, Lord, also tonight that you would just bless those that are less fortunate. There are so many, Lord, that's on our prayer list tonight. There are some that's not on our prayer list. There are some here, Lord, that stands in need of your touch tonight and needs a hand of encouragement in their life. God, I pray that you would minister to them as only you can. We know, Lord, that in and through everything we trust you in and everything and every possibility, Lord, that we can walk by faith and not by sight. And the circumstances of life, Lord, help us never to surrender to those things, and help us to trust you and look to you. I pray, Father, for those that are suffering, those that are hurting, those that were mentioned in our prayer rooms tonight. God, just work in the circumstances of their life and bring about, Lord, your redemptive process, your healing process, as only you see fit. Father, tonight we ask once again that our lives would be in submission to you as we move into this season of the year. And we cannot fathom or comprehend why you, Lord Jesus, would leave the portals and the riches of glory and the message of the story of you coming into this world for mankind, fallen mankind, to redeem them and to put them in a right relationship with Almighty God. I thank you, Lord, for all that you have done and all that you're doing, but we look to you with great anticipation of what you're going to do in each of our lives. Lord, do that which only you can, and we'll even now be careful to thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' strong name that he will be glorified. Amen. As we look at the first fear not, it is the fear not of the father of the faith or the forerunner. And of course, we know Zacharias, and as we look at this passage of Scripture, he was carrying on the service, I guess we could say, of God in the temple, where he carried on and did those things within the temple area, and the prayer was being made. And if you look at this passage of Scripture in Luke, we'll be looking back into, so you can turn to Luke, the first chapter as well, and we'll be looking at several passages here. But as we think about this first fear not to the forerunner's father, we see that in verse 13, look in Luke 1:13, it says this. It says, and the angel said unto him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John. So we see that he was this fear not is a fear not of the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, because John was going to be the one to sound forth his coming, to make way, to get ready for the coming of the Messiah. And here, as Zechariah carried on the service of God, and as they were childless, here the angel assured him that he was going to be the father of the forerunner. He was fearful for what he saw. If we look at that very close there in verse 11 at 12, it says, "And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing in the right side of the altar of incense," and this is what he was there for, "and Zechariah saw him and was troubled, and fear fell upon him." Many times in our life, we're not careful, the things that we see will strike fear within our heart. And that's exactly what happened to Zacharias here as he was carrying on the service of God. And we see that this fear and faith, that it cannot mix in the service of God. And I've said this time and time again, and I will continue to say it, that we cannot allow and we cannot grow in faith when we are possessed with a spirit of fear in our life. The Bible teaches us and tells us the child of God is not to allow fear to dominate their life, because fear is a lack of faith. When we understand what it means to walk by faith and not by sight, that means that we are in a constant reminder to ourselves that God is in control, that God knows what's going on not only now, but He knows what's going on tomorrow, and we can put our faith in Him, and we can look to Him, and we can lean on Him for whatever problem, whatever it may be in our life. We know that God is there, even though we see those things around us that trouble us and bother us, we can trust God and we can look to Him. You can talk to many people, several people, however many you want to, about things in their life, stumbling blocks along the way. But whenever they really apply the attitude and the spirit of faith, that God works in their lives and moves things, and sometimes He rearranges things. But here we see that fear and faith cannot be mixed in the service of God. And that's what Zechariah was doing. He was carrying on the service of God. But see, what his problem was, is he could not leave well enough alone. I mean, when the angel told him what was going to take place, he could not leave well enough alone. Look in 1:18 through 20, it says, "And Zechariah said unto the angel, Whereby shall I know this? For I am an old man, and my wife is well stricken in years. And the angel answering said unto him, I am Gabriel, that standeth in the presence of God, and am sent to speak unto thee, and to show thee these glad tidings." Here, Zechariah should have left well enough alone and just surrendered to the will and the purpose of God by the messenger of God. But Zechariah was like many of us. We want to know how it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. When God is in control, what difference does it matter how it's going to happen? I mean, let's face it. If God is in control, what difference does it make? And because of this unbelief in his life, this lack of faith in his life, we know that he did not speak again until the child was born, because he did not leave well enough alone. But you know what? There is a lesson to be learned here by all. There's a lesson for all of us to learn, and that is that we need to learn to take God at his word. Are you with me? We need to learn to take God at his word. And there's another thing we need to learn. Sometimes, and listen to me close, sometimes God moves into the everyday affairs of our life and he has something for us. Are you with me? One of the most troubling things I heard a man say one time, and I believe I've shared this before, but I won't do it again. He shared with me, he'd been a Christian for 28, 29 years, something like that. And I was talking about, you know, the Lord speaking. He says, you know, he says, I have never had the Lord to speak to me. And I said, what? What? I've never had the Lord to speak to me. You mean you've lived as a Christian and you've never had heard the Lord, and the Lord never spoke to you through somebody else, through his word, through the medium of prayer, in a prayer meeting or something? You've never had? Not that I know of. And I said, man, there's something wrong then. You need to realize that you have a relationship with God, and that relationship as a father and son, and that's exactly what the analogy Jesus draws in there when he calls him our father. And we need to realize that the father speaks to his children, does he not? A father that would not speak to his children is not much of a father. And I tried to relate to that man, and I tried to get him to understand that whenever he reads God's word, before he begins reading God's word, he needs to say, God, I want you to speak to me. I want to know your will for my life. And when you pray, ask God to speak to you through the medium of prayer. And this went on there for about 2 weeks, and he come up to the house one, and he says, you know, I heard the Lord speak to me about something that I need to have done in my life. And I said, amen, brother. Preach on. And that's what it's all about, is being open to God. He speaks to us. And when we take him at his word, look to him for what he wants. Because see, in the process of what transpired here, he was doubtful to the message God had, and also the messenger, some scholars say. But there's a second thing, a second fear not. And the second fear not is to marry the chosen one in Luke 1:26-31. And that's what transpired there. She was fearful. He was fearful by what he saw. She was fearful by what she heard. Look in verse 29 of Luke 1. It says this, and when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. She was troubled at what she heard. She knew, according to verse 34, she knew that it was logically and biologically impossible for her to have a child, like it was. But thing about it was, is see, when you rule out God in many circumstances and situations, sure, there's nothing to happen. But that's why we believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, chose Mary, and we believe that she was a virgin, and we believe of the virgin birth of Jesus Christ, and that's part of the gospel message. That is the only means and the only medium of the redemptive story of Jesus coming into the world. And let me tell you something, the people that do not believe that, they have missed out on what God has said in his word, and they miss out on the reality of who Jesus was. So as we look at this, she was fearful by what she heard. She knew the angel spoke of work of the Trinity there. Look in verse 35 with me. The work of the Trinity says, then the angels answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest God shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. So you have a Trinity there in that passage of Scripture. And as she realized and understood, we need to have the same kind of response as Mary had. Look at the response there in verse 38. Look at her response. She said, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to what? What does it say? According to what? According to thy word. See, whenever the reality sunk in to Mary, then she was willing to say, Lord, here I am. I am your handmaid. I am for you. I give my life in submission and surrender to you. And be it unto me according to your word. Let me tell you something, folks. There's power in the word of God. And when we understand this, we can realize that there's a truth to think through in this passage, in this part. And that is, do you want Jesus formed in you? It's a good question, is it not? Do you want Jesus formed in you? Then I ask the question then, how is it done? How is it done? The same way it was with Mary. The work of the Holy Spirit moving in the confines of our life, making the reality of Jesus a factor within our life so that our life can be used to carry out his will and purpose. As she was obedient, as she was submissive, she became the mother of the chosen, or the anointed one, the mother of the Holy One. See, our response should be like that. But what about it today? You just think for just a moment. What kind of Christmas would this be if every Christian would pray that prayer and really mean it? Lord, be it according to your servant, your handmaid, me, Lord, whoever I am, whatever my name is. Lord, be it according to me, according to your word. I want Jesus formed in my life. Because see, the world today, and listen to me, Brother Ibe brought that out this morning about how the world hates Jesus. They despise him because of the confusion around him saying that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but by me. You go back into the Old Testament, they served and they worshiped one God. One God. And Jesus came on the scene as that one God, according to what John in his gospel says. He depicted the very essence of God. He used the term Word and the Logos. The Word became flesh and dwelled among us. As she sung that song, they sung that song a while ago. And dwelled among us. O come, Emmanuel. He came unto his own. The Bible says, and his own received him not, but as many as would receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons or the children of God. Thank God for that tonight. Yes, Mary was a chosen one. And what my prayer is that he would be formed in my life more and more every day. And the only way that can happen is I surrender to the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in my life. And I've said this before, and I will say it again. The only evidence of you being a child of God or a Christian is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. There is no other. I mean, there are a lot of people, they try to do this, and that's, back to talking about religion, that's the difference between religion and Christianity. Religion says you got to do this. But on the cross, Jesus said it's been done. It's finished. It's completed. And it has been. So we see fear not to the Mary or the chosen one. Then there's a third fear not, and that is to the stepfather or the earthly father or whatever you want to call it. And that was in our text tonight. He was fearful because of his thinking while he was sleeping. Have you ever thought while you were laid in bed? Had that thinking continued on in your sleeping? I mean, sometimes, you know, you go to sleep thinking about things. And sometimes, if you're not careful, that thinking kind of goes over into your dreams, which sometimes, let me tell you, they can become nightmares, do they not? Like the little boys had some hay and he's carried it to bed. His mama says, what you going to do with that? He says, I'm going to feed my nightmares. But here we see that Joseph, he was pondering the situation. He was meditating. He was thinking it through. Here I am betrothed to Mary, and I hear that she is with child. What am I going to do? What must I do? What shall I do? What is the right thing for me to do? I believe Joseph was contemplating that in his own heart and mind. And while he was contemplating that, look at what the scripture says there in Matthew 1:20. Look at it just a moment with me. Back over there. It says this, but while he thought on these things, what things? You can imagine. Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in dreams, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost or Holy Spirit. Let me tell you something, folks. In Joseph's life, that settled the issue. You know why? Because as he meditated and as he thought about what he was going to do, God showed him what he should do. And I got some news for you. When we contemplate our problems, and let me tell you something, you can contemplate your problems and they can cause fear in your life. They can absorb you with fear and anxiety and things that just seems to eat your breakfast. But whenever you come to the reality of allowing God to work in the circumstance and bring about His process, we can see that things happen. Here's a thought for us out of this one. If we meditate, listen to me, if we meditate, think upon it, and pray about the problems, I will guarantee you that God will come to our rescue. I believe that with every fiber of my being. I believe that when we really learn to trust Him, when we really learn to pour it out and give it to Him, as 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all, not some, not many, or not most, but cast all your cares on Him, for He careth for you. He cares more about you than you care about yourself. He wants you to deposit it unreservedly, give it all to Him. And when and if you do, He can work our good and His glory out of it. That's what He's in business for. That's what He's good about, is doing those things. So when we can meditate or think about, contemplate, and pray about problems, He will come to our aid. But there's a fourth fear not. And this came to the unlikely heralds of the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke 2, starting in verse 18. These are the shepherds. It says there in verse 18 and following. Just to read that for you. It says, "And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all things that they had heard and seen as it was told them." If you go back and you see in this passage, you see the fear not in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. It says in verse 9, it says, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them, and they were sore afraid." And I tell you, that word there means beside themselves last Sunday. But then in verse 10 it says, "And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to some people." Boy, look at that just a moment. "Which shall be to all people." What all people? Does all people respond? Will all people respond to Jesus? Good news. Let me tell you something. The good news is for all who will hear and heed the message. That's where the good news comes in. When we hear the message and when we apply the faith that God has placed within us and we really heed and hear the message, then God can work His work of redemption in our hearts and our lives and bring about His will and purpose for us. They were fearful because the light that came to their darkness. They were fearful. Let me ask you a question. Which is worse? A child that is afraid of the darkness or a man that is afraid of the light? Which one is worse? Turn to John just a moment, third chapter. Jesus had answer to that, did He not? John, the third chapter, I believe it starts in about verse 18 or somewhere along there. Verse 17 says, "For God sent not His Son," you know John 3:16, brother, I'll be laid that on us the other Wednesday night. It says, "God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be" what? "Saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not" what? "Believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And this is the condemnation. That what? Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light. Why? It says, "Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are" what? "Wrought in God." Brought to fruition, made a reality in God. What is He saying? What does He mean there? What does Jesus say? Light has come, but men, because of their sin, because of their nature, they do not want to come to the light. And let me tell you something. John, in his gospel, he presents Jesus as light, as life, and as love. And men do not want that. Why? Because they're so stooped in their own life, in their own kind of philosophy, and they want to live in darkness, and they don't have anything to do with love, that kind of love. So, the unlikely heralds of the birth. Here, let me tell you something. Fear is always destroyed with faith. Did you know that? You can have a fear in your heart, What is it called? A phobia of fear? What is it? Help me out here. What is it? Anyhow, you know what I'm talking about. A phobia of fear. But the thing about it is, fear always is destroyed with faith and nothing else. Look back at verse 15 and 16 in our text. Or in Luke chapter 2. Look at back chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. It says this, "And it came to pass that the angel were going away unto them from heaven. The shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem." Bethlehem, that term there means house of bread. "To see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste, or in a hurry, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. What did they do? They put their faith into action. Let me tell you something. Faith that is put into action will destroy fear. That's exactly what we must recognize and understand. The question then, if your fear has been overcome by faith, is it worth sharing with someone else? That's what they did. They did. They went and shared it, told others. And that's what it's all about when we learn to trust Jesus and we come to Him and we allow Him to work the work of grace and mercy in our life. That's what happens. Listen very closely. If the real message of Christmas is fear not, then what about the Christ of Christmas? He did not stay a baby. He grew up, became a man. If you study His ministry, His life, His message, His mission, it was geared to anxious, worrisome, fearful, and troubled people. You go and you study any portion you want to, and you see this. The first fishermen that Jesus called, they were told in Luke 5:10, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." Thou shalt catch men. In Luke 8:50 and following, talks about Jairus, his only daughter was sick, and as he had told Jesus, and Jesus was going to his house, you remember the woman that had the issue of blood came in and got into possession, and she touched Jesus' garment because she thought within herself, if I can but touch the hem of his garment, I can be made whole, and she did, and Jesus stopped the whole procession, and then someone called, come after this woman was made known, that someone come from his house and said that your daughter is dead, trouble not the master anymore. But Jesus said, have faith, fear not. He said this, fear not, believe only, and she shall be made whole. Then as he entered the house, he told them to weep not. Weep not. And you know what he did? He told them that she is not dead. And the Bible says that they laughed him to scorn. Here they were, the very creative force in all the world, the one who holds life in his hand. They laughed him to scorn. And then the Bible says that he put them out and he went in and he called the maid forth. And let me tell you something, Jesus had the last laugh. Had the last laugh. In Luke 12:4-5, he had told what fear was really, what fear we should be observing. In verse 7, he said this, he says, the hairs of your head are numbered. He says, fear not, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. He had talked to that about what not the one that can destroy the body, but the one that can destroy the soul. And then he told them to fear not, therefore, you're of more value than sparrows. The fourth fear not he talked about here is the ministry, which would be an excellent study for us, encouragement and an avenue of faith. Because it was a message at the tomb where he told Mary to fear not, fear not. Let me tell you something. We need to all listen and hear as John did on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation 1:17. Turn there with me just a moment. Revelation 1:17. John, they're banned because of his commitment to Jesus Christ and his love for the Savior. Tarred and feathered didn't slow him down or shed him up. So they banned him to the Isle of Patmos. And then in Revelation 1:17 it says this, "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead." Did you catch that? "And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death." So we see he let John know that he was in control. Listen, the world, the sin, the devil will give you more fear than you're able to handle, folks. It'll give you more than you can handle. But let me tell you something. Our blessed Lord said in John 16:33, we need to sit up and we need to take heed by what he said. He says, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But he says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Also in John 14:27, he entrusted this peace to us when he said, peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. Neither, however you want to say it, let it be afraid. Any questions? Then let me tell you something. I believe with every fiber of my being, we ought to enjoy the real Christmas, the real meaning of Christmas, and not to fear. Not to fear. When we think about the message of Christmas, it is a message of fear not. Who would have thought this little child could have done what he did? Listen to the words of this song.
Who would have thought that long ago, so very far away, a little child would be born and in a manger lay? And who would have thought this little child, born a King of Kings, the son of just a carpenter, but for whom the angels sing? And who would have thought that as he grew and with other children played, this child with whom they laughed and played would die for them someday? Oh, and who would have thought this little child could make the blind man see? He could feed the hungry, make rich the poor, and set the sinner free. Oh, who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said would take away the sins of man and rise up from the dead? Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child is the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing, this little child. King of Kings. Many years have come and gone, yet this old world remains the same. Empires have been built and fallen, only time has made a change. Nation against nation, brother against brother, men so filled with hatred, they're killing one another. And over half the world is starving, while our banner of decency is torn.
debating over disarmament, killing children before they're born, and fools who march to win the right to justify their sin. Oh, every nation that has fallen from within. Yet in the midst of this darkness, there's a hope, a light that burns. This little child, the King of Kings, someday will return. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing. This little child is the King. Oh, I believe, and I will always sing. This little child, he is the King of Kings.
And who would have thought this little child was who the prophet said will return to judge this world, the living and the dead.
Oh, can't you see that long ago, so very far away, this little child, our only hope, was born a king
that Christmas day. Lord, we are so grateful to you for seeing the need of mankind, our fallen, sinful condition, and how you could allow your Son to leave the riches and the portals of glory to come into a sinful world, be rejected of men, is beyond our comprehension. But yet, Lord, you came as that babe in Bethlehem, and then you lived a life that was above reproach and above sin. And you surrendered that life. You gave that life. You became our substitute. You took our place on Calvary. Oh, God, how thankful we are. We cannot explain it, but thank God we can experience that forgiveness. And, Lord, tonight, if there's one here that's never trusted you, I pray that this would be the night that they would say yes to you. There may be fears in their life, and I know I look back in my own life before I become a Christian. There were many fears, fears of dying and fears of hell. But those can be settled tonight. The issue can be settled for those who will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, because he's the one who takes fear and puts it in its right perspective. God, tonight, would you do that which only you can? And even now, Lord, we're going to thank you and to praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake and his glory. Amen. We're going to have the song 103, Away in a Manger, played. If anyone wants to come to the altar, wants to come to give their life to Jesus Christ, you can do so at this time. It's going to be played as we stand together.